Stephen Justin here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella with Justin Sliva, broadcasting from sunny Southern California and from Dallas, Fort Worth today. Justin and I introduced Finance Friday. Well, let's just get into it, actually. The person who wrote my script doesn't understand Finance Friday, and I think that's fine. This is what, our third show, I think, Justin?
Third official under Finance Friday.
Jill is actually, you know, because you were out shooting coyotes, I think, last week.
Yep. Yeah, we shot seven.
Did you really?
Yeah. They weren't very great. There was a lot of mange on them, but we did shoot three that really looked good. And the cool thing about it was it's just a fourth generation ranch that we were on, and there's a feedlot next to it. So these coyotes come through this canyon on this 5,800 acre ranch and eat the cows at the feedlot, and then they come back across. So we actually just set up on a canyon and just picked them off as they came in and out. It was pretty nice.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to lose several listeners over this.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's just.
I mean, they're a predator, so I mean that's kind of why we do that.
I get it completely. I personally get it. Anyway, Jill covered for Justin last week, which is was kind of fun. If you haven't had a chance to, actually, I think it airs tomorrow, Justin, so you probably haven't heard it yet. But before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. Marcus asks, I'm in the process of selecting counties for my first mailer, and because I'm working with very little cash, the last thing I want to do is hit the Southwest for cheap properties and compete with a million, within a million other people trying to buy the same property. So I'm staying in the Midwest here where I live and looking at population trends in nearby states. And my goal is to find counties in rural or semi-rural areas that aren't far from counties where people are currently living or moving. I'm thinking that's the way that there's a better chance a property will sell and sell quickly, not 8 months from now. I'd love any feedback that you have. This is a perfect question, actually, Justin, for you.
Yeah, we get it. We get this question a lot. It's the two big things we got is, hey, what county should we shop, and what price should we offer? Those are the two big questions, and we've had 55 people reach out in the last week for questions like that. So it's been insane with how much people have reached out, you know, wanting to know that stuff.
Yeah.
What I tell people to do is find an asset class they like. You know, so if it's county in the Midwest, you know, you have some great states, and find something you like about it that excites you, because when you're excited about what you're shopping, you're going to tend to do better, do more, and you're going to work at a faster pace versus being like, oh, crap, it's this desert piece of property. It doesn't excite you. You know, in the Midwest, you have a ton of options up there. You could go through Tennessee, through Kentucky, through, you know, Georgia, through the Southeast. You know, you have all the states there, and find stuff that you like about them, and then start working through them. Find a price you feel comfortable with. I use the same example, like $1,000 to $2,000 purchase or sell price, and then try to offer, you know, 25-35% in that. It varies. It's not a hard line, but look for what you have and make sure it's affordable, that you have the margins to cover your business.
Yeah.
It works anywhere. I'll just run through the states that we've talked about and talked with people on in the last week: California, Texas, Washington, Arizona, New Mexico, Virginia, Nevada, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and what was the other state? Oregon. Sorry, Oregon. That was just in the last week. So, I mean, you've got a plethora of states across the country there.
Yeah.
And we've greenlit Washington, Arizona, two in New Mexico, and one in Nevada just this week. And we've been out of office for a couple of days.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it works everywhere, quite honestly. The other thing I would add is you really want to avoid lawyer states. Do you avoid those too?
No, we don't. We just find a good lawyer. Yeah, that's the thing. We'd always talk about learning these counties and trying to figure out all these laws, and that's what scares a lot of people. Is we talk about now in 2.0, we talk about outsourcing and getting that transaction coordinator or the right people with the right team in place. An attorney that closes for you is part of your team. It's just like a title company. So find an attorney that does real estate in that county, call them up and say, hey, I've got a property I need to close. You send them the contract, they handle it for you. And now you have an expert on your team for that county, that state, for that asset class, and now you're covered. And you're paying them the percentage or whatever their fee is.
That's great.
So that's kind of how we've taken that approach.
I mean, you always have a positive workaround mentality for everything. And I think that just – it's really good. It's really a good instructor quality to have.
No, I appreciate that.
Also, you're a little bit younger than me, so you're still positive.
I'm not bitter yet. I'm not jaded. We've tried to build our business as simple as possible and keeping it simple. And, you know, with the realtors or, you know, the Flatlist MLS, you have two options there on your listing side. They know your market. They do it for you. They're part of that team for you. On the closing, you have your title companies, you have your attorneys. Those people can handle that for you. You handle them. They're professionals in that craft. You know, some suck. Some aren't great at all, but some are really good. But all of them still know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the better deals that you got in last week.
We actually just had one in Texas that looks pretty good. We're finalizing that. We can walk through that one a little bit if you want.
Sure.
12 and a half. It's about 12 and a half acres. It's in an area that's central Texas. It looks like it's got some growth to it. It's priced pretty good. It looks at the purchase price is around 30K, and it looks like it's going to comp around 75 to 80K. So it's not, you know, we hear a lot of people say, oh, you want triple your money. That one's not a triple your money deal, but it has margin to cover for both people to make a pretty good return. So it looks like a good deal for somebody there. It's got some acreage with it. We've had a couple that were, we had some smaller deals come in that were, I think we have 5,600 bucks in them. List price on those, they're going to market this week, and they're going to be in the mid 14, 15 range. So it's a pretty good, a little good turn there. And a couple in Arizona that we had come in that looked pretty good. So
do you, I know you've been at this for a while now. Are you waiting? Are there any properties that are not selling as fast as you want them to sell?
I've got a few up in Wisconsin that have been kind of sitting a little bit there. We closed on them the first week of October. And so they've been on the market since mid-October. So it's kind of gotten to the snowy season. We got great pictures on them. So we caught it before the snow with the pictures, but it's kind of slowed down with that. So that's kind of ones we're seeing it slow. We have one in Texas that's been sitting. We had a couple offers on it that were owner finance offers, but the partner didn't want to go that way yet. The investor we're working with. So
yeah, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, and that doesn't surprise me at all. It's real estate seasonal, especially land.
Yep. And these pictures look great. So when this shows the springtime, it's looked like it's going to just kill it up there. They're great looking properties.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. Is it like recreational property or cabin property?
Yeah, it's a perfect cabin property. I think they range in size from 2 acres, and they're like two acres side by side up to a 10 acre that's on a river. We've got four, I think, up there, or five, and half of them do have water on them. It's like a river or a creek running through them. Big trees, access is good. So it's just a real neat property to be perfect for cabin, somebody up in the Midwest. So that's awesome. We're excited about those.
So that excites me. I mean, the notion of owning property and using property like that is the reason that I got into land in the first place. I guess probably it's to some extent the reason. Well, you just hit on it earlier. You got to be interested in the property yourself.
Yeah. We've seen some stuff up in the Pacific Northwest that just got me like super excited. I'm ready to just move and buy a little off-grid cabin and disappear for a while. My wife's even getting excited about it. She's like, wow, this is beautiful. And you know, they don't believe some of the deals we're seeing come back. And you know, I'm telling these people, I said, hey man, it's just find a class that you like. You get a photographer that can get that piece of that excitement for you through on a camera. Then it's great. You know, you talk about the Landio site and what his photographer does for his site, but we see those pictures come back from other guys and videos come back. We had a video up in the Pacific Northwest, man. It's beautiful. I'm like, I'm just amped up about it when I see it. It's just exciting.
It's fantastic, man. So you mentioned, I think you received 55 phone calls or 55 properties this last week?
No, 55 emails or requests to book a meeting with us to discuss how to price, how to pick a county, you know, what we look at and kind of what it's the same questions over and over, which is great because man, it's gearing up for 2019. It's going to be a huge year for Land Academy, the Land Academy members and the non-Land Academy members, the listeners to the podcast, because the questions they're asking and what they're going after and then the goals they're setting for themselves for 2019 and working backwards on that. And it's scary to me because of how much the confident these guys are getting in what they're looking for in their asset class and how they're wanting to center that down. So it's going to be huge.
I mean, that's like mission accomplished for us. You know, the stuff that we've been talking about that's possible is happening. So
yeah, no, y'all two should be super excited about it because you see these little ducklings get up and they're flying across the country now. And it's just crazy to see. It's crazy to see that growth and that exponential growth happening.
We had an unbelievable December as a land revenue month and as a new Land Academy member month. It was truly amazing, actually.
Yeah, I think four came through Plum that ended up signing up with y'all, and they took advantage of the half price deal, which is huge. That's a great savings for them. So it's huge for them. So it's awesome to see them come out. They reach out and they don't have the tools in place yet. And you say, hey, you know, Land Academy provides these tools, and we push them that away. And then they realize to see that great deal y'all had, and they sign up and they run with it. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's, how was your December? How was your 2018 in general?
2018 was solid. We well deep into the six figures for profit after for just our businesses. It looked good. Plum is on pace. 2019 is on pace to already have over six figures on the books. So that's huge. We have the podcast starting up, so that's going to be cool. It kind of offshoot of some of the stuff that we talk about with Land Academy and, you know, some of the things that we're seeing across our niche. A great year, a solid year. I'm trying to look that's at my awesome. Notes here to see what we have. But I've got two houses that I'm trying to finish up now. And once those are done, our land business is super hyper-focused on a certain asset class, and we're going to run through that and just kill it. And I'm excited about that.
That's great, man. Yeah, we're on schedule to hit $5 million in 2019
Oof.
Revenue.
Wow.
So it's working out.
Yeah, we had 8 clients that worked through Plum or consulting, and we helped them. They all reached six figures this year. So I mean, that was a solid deal for us. You know, combined, I think net worth was that they created over $2 million in profit, just actual cash in a bank for these guys all together. And equity was somewhere in the $6 or $7 million off market equity. So it's huge, huge year for everybody. But 2019 just looks like it's about to blow it out.
That's what I think too. You know, and I know we're headed into, or we are now technically into a kind of a market downturn. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, we're seeing stuff still sell. It kind of slowed down for the Christmas and the holidays, but the leads that we're getting in now have picked back up. We still see the owner finance stuff, people wanting to do that, but they're willing to pay a little bit more down than they're just wanting to hold on to their money a little bit. So they're willing to pay the 10%. They want to know what they can do to pay it off early, but they're willing to give $1,000 to $2,000 down, $5,000 down. So you get somebody with a little more skin in the game. So I don't want to say owner finance is dead, but it seems to be a viable option for a lot of people. We've had four offers on properties we partner on this week on four different properties that people wanted to owner finance, and they're willing to put more than $199 down and $199 a month. They're wanting to do the $2,000 or $3,000 up to $5,000 down, and hey, what can I finance it for over the next 5 years?
Right.
So, you know, so great. It's a great thing to look at. So some of the people aren't doing the owner finance. You may look at that if your business is kind of stalling a little bit.
Right. I think it's largely single family residential slowdown more than anything else. I don't think this is, I think, my third time. It's my second time for sure in a land business that we've had a downturn. Mm-hmm. And there's no replacement for buying cheap property. In fact, I think people come out of the woodwork to provide money to buy cheap property during a downturn. And it's easy to resell it cheap. You know, it's like everything, acquisitions go down and sales go down, prices, not the volume. So I'm not concerned about it at all.
Yeah. We see Dallas has kind of slowed down a little bit on a single family. But you're still, like, one of our houses, we're still priced where we are, and we're getting showings a couple times a week. You know, they're pricing the market still and kind of wondering whether new home is the way to go, because we have a ton of builders building in the area, or if a current house that's already on the market's there.
Awesome. So give us an example of a couple other deals that you're doing, if you can.
Okay. We have, I think, one in Nevada. I think it's $5,000. It's going to list for $15,000. It's 40 acres. It's a smaller one, but it's a newer guy. He wanted to try it out. Been in a family since 1978, so clean title. He'll be able to work around the title issues on that, or working around through a title company. So we'll self-close. It's his first deal, so we're walking him through self-closing with it. So
okay.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, so he's getting to see that firsthand. Said Texas, we talked about that one a little bit. Washington, we have a one up there, and we've got a couple that are kind of slated to go in the books. We've had a few in California that topography was kind of an issue, and pricing was a little bit high. So it seems like it's been a big issue for us in California with the smaller 5 acre to, you know, up to 100 acre we've seen with topography that you can't even get a road onto the property.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of tough. You know, kind of limits what you can do with it. So one of the big things we've talked about this week with people is what are your exit strategies and understanding how you get out of the deal too. So with the downturn coming, people holding their money a little bit tighter, what's your exit strategies and kind of discussing that a little bit farther.
So what are their, have they thought that through in general before they get to you?
Not the, the typical response is, well, I think it sells for this. And that's, you know, that's an idea. And like, okay, well, who's your end user and what are they going to do with it? And, you know, you can talk about different asset classes, whether it's agricultural, whether it's, you know, a guy plows a field, subdivides it into 5-acre lots. And you're like, oh, I got five acre lots. They're flat. They've got access. You know, these are going to be great. And they're going to pull this kind of money. But when you look at it, it's just a plowed field and it's just paper subdivided. Mm-hmm. Or you get to a big recreational piece in California. We had a section come up and the roads were too small for fire. So you couldn't do anything. You couldn't build an off-grid cabin. You couldn't do anything with it. It was just literally going to be a recreational piece of property.
Yeah.
And it was $300,000. And yep. Then next to it, the road is wider and that same piece of property selling for like $3 million. And you're like, just, it just makes that big a difference on the comps. And, you know, so things like that. But it's one of those things that I think we kind of, as we start to evolve and we get into these better properties and these better asset classes, we start understanding what our exit strategies are to get in and out of these deals. Yeah. And knowing who your end buyer is going to be and kind of getting to that sniper mentality of, yeah. Okay, we know exactly how it's going to progress through, whether it's wholesale deals, it's a terms deal, or it's a cash buyer that's a, you know, middle-class family, or if it's a commercial buyer.
You know, the exit shows itself sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really dig into the property, it'll reveal itself pretty quickly.
Yeah.
As will the decision whether or not to buy it.
Yep. You know?
Like, no, that exactly section, right. Like, my first reaction on that section is, can you rectify the access at all, do you think?
Yeah, and they said no because it was too steep. It was a road on each side, the cliff on each side was too steep. The other one we had, it wasn't quite, it was 100 and, oh man, I want to say it was 125 acres. And it was in a national forest, had good road access, but only about 8 to 12 acres of it was usable. Everything else was the side of a mountain. And so it was a beautiful piece of property, really beautiful. It been in the family since the 50s. Wow. Just, you know, you could see the natural trails through it from people hiking in that area. So it wasn't like people were staying off of it. So it was almost like it was part of the park. So it kind of led that, okay, what do you do with it? Can you use it for free? Do you really need to pay for it? Could you actually use the property? And, you know, it was priced okay. I think that one was $100,000. To me, it looked like it sold for about 175. So it wasn't a home run, but it had pretty good margin still in it. But it had been on the market for a while. It was on the market for $500,000 in 2016. And just every year, they're just dropping a price and dropping a price in their mid twos. And you're like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do different? They have a great ad. They have this, they have that. What do we do differently to actually
That's
make it?
Big market? Red flag for me. If it's been on the MLS, even in the last few years, and it just didn't work out, I don't know why that trips me for some reason.
It does. It's like, I ask myself, I look at the article and say, or the ad and say, can I do better than this ad? And if it's a pretty good ad, like say it's a 9 out of 10, I'm like, well, they've got a pretty good ad. I don't know what I'm going to do to be better. And, you know, is a drone video make it pop? Does just a lower price make it pop? You know, what's going to make somebody pull the trigger on it?
It's just a stigma for some reason after it's been on the market.
Yeah. It goes stale. And so what do you do to get around that?
All right. Hey, let everybody know, please, how to get a hold of you, and I'll wrap it up here.
Okay. Justin at PlumInvestmentGroup.com. And then I'm going to throw in, be on the lookout, as we talked about, Casual Friday's REI podcast is going through the iTunes, like rigmarole right now. So we're looking 3 to 10 days, and it should be live.
Awesome. So. I will be your first listener.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you've done it again. Spend another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for another interesting episode. And we'll answer your questions posted on your online community at Land Investors. It's free. Justin, thanks again. And super interesting. I'm so happy for your success, dude. You know, you and I have spent a little bit of personal time together over the last, whatever, let's just say 60 days. And it's, I'm really glad everything's working out for you. And I wish you the best in 2019.
I do appreciate that. I really do. Appreciate all the help.
All right. Have a good week.
You the same, sir.
Bye.